Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Jim. I am joined, as always, by my good friend, Eddie. Eddie, good evening. How are you, sir?
Good evening. Shalom to our Chanukah celebrating folks.
That's yes, Shaboom.
Shaboom to our Hanukkah celebrating folks. Merry Christmas, early Merry Christmas. I'm doing well to all our Judeo-Christian fans out there.
All our Jewish friends of the Hebrew persuasion?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's getting a little... I went off right with the... I don't know, it became a religious show there for 30 seconds.
Russ Cohen's, the Adam Raiders, the Marcy Bravermans.
Basically the only Jews we know.
Our Hebrew friends. Mandar.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that. No.
Marcy is Hebrew all the time.
I know, but that's kind of like, you know, if you're a Jew, you can say it. But if you're a Goyim like us, it's taboo. It's like the N-word with the sub-Saharans.
I've been watching a lot of All in the Family lately, so, you know, I've been hearing them all. You got your Heebs, you could run through the whole gamut.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I was watching an episode of All in the Family the other night, and Edith made a Lake Ronkonkoma reference. So, of course,
yes.
I immediately thought of you.
Yeah, that is like a big deal when she makes that comment about her, I think her uncle had a house where she met her ex-boyfriend, I think.
I think it was his parents, or maybe some relatives of his had a, good memory on you. Like, you remember what episode. Very nice.
Yeah.
Archie's all jealous and...
Well, this where I live used to be in the 40s and 50s the place to go. It was like, it was like Lake George.
Right, right. It
still is. Everybody had their summer houses out here. Then it turned to shit around 1975. And we never went back. I always joke about this place. Everybody says, you live near a lake. We're the only body of water that generates no income because it's a lake. You think of lakes, they have a pier, they have beaches. We have like 1.5 beaches, and they're pretty bad. And there's like no like good restaurants around it as far as commerce goes, it's so lacking. A lot of drug deals went down in the 70s. That's what we were known for. But anywho, that's the history of Lake Ronkonkoma 101. Now, what about these Jets season? Giants winning in the same week? The gods of New York football, New Jersey football, smiled upon us. What did they?
That they did. The Jets, another epic thriller. Jacksonville, 17-10?
Yes.
I think it was the final score. Another 3-0 game at halftime. But Mark Sanchez rallies the troops as only he can. He ignites his team. He leads them. He puts them on his back. He carries them. With a sword in one hand and a football in the other, follow me into the throes of battle.
Yes.
To
something like that, Jim.
Epic touchdown drives dissecting the Jacksonville defense. And the Jets now sit at 6-7. And depending on what kind of Jet fan you are, some are starting to buzz about making a little run here. Others are starting to buzz about how they're just screwing themselves out of a top 10 draft pick.
Well,
or if you're like Steven Carollo, each loss, just each win, even the wins, add to your angst as a Jet fan.
Yeah, that guy has no brains.
He's
certainly. I don't know how you can say you're a Jet fan and act like that dude. There's no winning with the Jets. He wants the staff fired. Why do you want the staff fired? I can see if you want to go to the GM getting fired. But I'll get into that in a second. But what do you want them to do? Lose to Jacksonville and show how much they stink? They stink if they beat Jacksonville. They stink if they lose to Jacksonville. I mean, I don't understand. And I'll go right into it. Yes, Mark Sanchez, basically they're running a high school offense over there. They throw 12 times a game now, and it's run the ball. Fine. Finally they've gone to the ground and pound. It's finally working in week 14 against, average of 300 winning percentage teams now. The ground and pound is working. Yeah, where is Costa? There he is.
Did he just show up?
Yeah, he just popped up.
See that?
It's like
speaking of the devil, and he shall appear. Good evening, right. Costa. Good evening, Tracy. Good evening, Monica. The women outnumber the men in the chat room.
Yes. It's always a good thing.
Oh, of course.
So, from the Jet perspective, and this is how I'm looking at it, is that this team has to be given credit for one thing, is that they did not give up. They did not quit. I mean, how many embarrassing, and I'll use the word again, silly losses has this team sustained? Enough for a decade for most teams. In one season. With the quarterback controversy, with the injuries, with the 21 point more losses, with Sanchez running into a guy's ass and fumbling on a nationally televised game, the humiliation of the coach not knowing that the Tim Tebow wasn't even available, with all the nonsense.
The humanity.
That somehow this team didn't say, we're out of here. And I know Jet fans are like, well, this is just tanky. We all know. You might as well play the draft. They would screw the draft anyway.
Johnny Flapp Jones.
Yeah, it would have been Dave Cadigan all over again. Unless you get the
Blair
one.
Thomas.
So.
Jeff Lagerman.
I give the Jets defense especially a lot
Roger
of credit.
Mick.
I mean, so what if the six wins, other than probably Indianapolis, aren't against teams of much caliber, not that good of a caliber? It doesn't matter. To me, there are a lot worse teams in the NFL, and the fact that they had this they've been able to salvage through 13 games a 6-7 record. You got to give them credit. Sure, they deserve a lot of minuses on everything else. There's no doubt about it. But to continually bash this team when they're winning, you're not a Jet fan. I don't want you. And let me just say this again, my friend Jim. What's their record? Without that traitorous Fireman Ed, the quitter.
Yeah, that's right. 2-0 without Fireman Ed.
That's right. You picked a good time to quit, you dumbass. They're undefeated without you. We don't need you.
You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille.
That's right. Take your fireman helmet and take your Sanchez jersey. Hit the bricks, pal. We don't need no fair weather mascots. Would you hang around, what, 25, 30 years? You fair weather bastard. So, yeah, is it exciting? It's the Jets Jaguars. What do you expect? I mean, come on. An aerial show? I mean, this is what you get. Jacksonville play, you know, a quarterback duel? I mean, Jacksonville didn't even have Cecil Shorts III, or as I call him, CS3.
CSI Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, the Jets win the game, they're 6-7 now. Are you brain dead if you think they're going to make the playoffs? Yeah, I think you are. Yes, they have some winnable games. I just can't see it happening. I mean, well, they got Tennessee next week. Tennessee lost. They played pretty well in that game, and they wound up losing. Jake Locker, this is how much confidence I have in the Jets. Jake Locker may be too much of a quarterback for them. But certainly they haven't played the cream of the crop quarterbacks lately.
Well, they're 6-7. Still got Pittsburgh. Still looking up at Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. I don't know what the tiebreaker situation is. They lost to Pittsburgh, right?
Right.
Okay. And did they play Cincinnati? Have they played Cincinnati? Don't remember.
Andy Dalton, don't think they did.
Let me take a quick look at the Jets schedule here. What else they got? Tennessee, San Diego.
And Buffalo. I'm telling you, those three teams stink. I mean, Tennessee to me would be the tougher of the two. Didn't San Diego win last week? I think they won
Sunday. Yeah, they beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah, right. That was the big win. See?
I don't know what to make of that.
Wow. Even a blind squirrel finds nuts once in a while. Yeah, you actually got Philip Rivers having a productive game. So, yeah, is it possible? Is there a buzz? Would I start getting hyped and psych? No. What I'm hoping for, Jim, is that the Jets make it to 8-8. For two reasons. One, I think you really have to salvage this. It would be considered almost a moral victory, even though it means nothing, really, if you don't make the playoffs. Plus, what are they going to do in the playoffs anyway? So they can get obliterated 41-10? It would be even more embarrassing. Let's just call it quits. That's what I'm saying, at 8-8. Go home. Nobody died. That's the barometer. Nobody died on the team. I mean, this is what we got to positive. We got to take as Jets fans. I hate to be cruel. What's going on in the NFL? One's dying every week.
Yeah.
Listen, they're making it interesting. That's all you can hope for the Jets, and I know he's hated by other, you know, the teams and Giant fans and stuff. But Rex Ryan's got to get a little credit for at least rallying the troops. And I believe that he's rallying the troops because all the troublemakers are hurt. Like Santonio Holmes. I bet you that locker room was tighter than ever without the captain.
Oh, but.
What happened?
Just when you thought they were the good ship Tranquility, they're importing the troublemakers. You didn't hear they're bringing back an old friend.
No, don't tell me.
Braylon Edwards.
Oh, God.
Braylon Edwards. Picked up off waivers today from the Seattle Seahawks. He was awarded. I like the way they put that. He was awarded to the Jets. Woo!
He's awarded the state?
What a prize. Now, do you know what, what Braylon Edwards did last week? Did you hear what he did?
No, I didn't hear that. I'm sure it was probably, you know, I know he hadn't been getting any playing time over there. So
well,
let me see.
It's not even that. Last week, he went on Twitter and said, "Don't blame Sanchez. I played there. Blame the idiots calling the shots.
Pick him up.
Mark is a beast and will prove it when given the proper chance." And then the next day, of course, he apologized, because that's what you do when you say you say something stupid on Twitter, and then you have to go on Twitter and apologize for what you said. But he calls them idiots, and a week later, they put him on the payroll. God bless the New York Jets. God bless them.
You couldn't have told me that before I went into the whole, let's give credit to the Jets thing. I mean, I know Braylon Edwards is a head case, and I know they're desperate. Once Stephen Hill got hurt, he didn't play. I thought they were going to have Schmiedeberg and Geik out there in wideouts, because it's getting bad. I mean, they got the Cumberland Gap out there, and they got the team. There might be even a replacement squad out there. I don't even know the names of these guys. But now you get this guy after he completely rips the team. It's not Sanchez. It's not Sanchez. Did you see him run into a guy's ass? You must have missed that play, Braylon. So pick him up. I think they just need any kind of bodies. You know?
Just looking for live bodies.
That's what they're looking for over there. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, that happened sometime this afternoon.
What a circus.
10 games, he's got 8 catches this season.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you think about that. Seattle, they're playing very well. They've got this quarterback that's Russell Wilson that's playing well. They're scoring points on offense. They scored 58. They hung 58 points on the Arizona Cardinals, the semi-pro team out in Glendale. And this guy still only has 8 catches and 1 touchdown. I mean, it's like an offensive resurgence in Seattle, but Braylon Edwards has had nothing to do with it.
Oh, yeah. And the fact is, their wideouts, although good, aren't world beaters. I mean, you know, Golden Tate and Sidney Rice.
Golden
These guys
Tate.
Aren't all that good of a guy, Golden Tate.
I like that. Anytime you can use the word Tate in a conversation.
So, he certainly, and he's been he's had the dropsies for his whole entire career, basically, and been a head case. Hey, why not get him? But they said no to Plaxico Burress. it's just insanity with the New York Jets, but they're in the hunt.
They're in the hunt. Wait, what would,
I keep seeing on those playoff scenario things, in the hunt, New York Jets. I freaking laugh every time I see it.
What would Mike Francesa say about all this?
Titans over the Buccaneers. They stay in the wild heart.
The Jets are in the wild heart cunt.
That's where they are. And so hopefully they will, speaking of Francesa, you know, I don't care for that guy that does the, with Boomer there, Craig Carton.
Oh, he's terrible.
I don't care him. He's too smug. He's too, like, everything's a joke. But
I don't like him because he won't talk hockey. And he thinks that, like, and he just completely dismisses hockey. I hate his attitude about hockey.
I think he does that to troll hockey people. You know, like it's kind of like a Mandar thing where he's kind of just out there trying to bug people.
Well, I don't care what it is. I don't like him for that.
Well, he was actually entertaining me the other morning because he was doing a Mad Dog impersonation, which was spot on. I mean, it was spot on. So I don't know why I got on that on that riff, but that's what I was thinking. Why Greg Card has him. Yeah, and like Tracy says, Boomer loves hockey. Boomer's at MSG all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm finally starting to get into a hockey. I'm starting to feel the blues about hockey right about now.
Are you?
Yeah, because football's winding down, and then I'm going to be left with nothing.
I'm still completely apathetic.
Really? I miss it. I miss when you go. Like, I went to those two AHL games. When you go, you miss the feeling, like the scenarios, and you miss yelling at the Ranger power play for not doing anything. You want to yell at people. You want to. All the positive things you got about it. The cheering, the excitement. There's nothing like the game. I'm sorry. I just, there's hockey in my blood.
Well,
along with some other.
I'm not disputing that, but I cannot get all wrapped up in a dispute between billionaires and millionaires. I can't relate to that. They're arguing over $18 million, and they're arguing over, contract length, 5 years, 6 years, what's it going to be? I can't relate to that. I got to make next month's rent payment. I can't sit here and worry about hockey. Well, fuck them. When they come back, let me know. I see these people post pictures on Facebook. Oh, here's Henrik Lundqvist walking around New York City. I miss him so much.
Wow.
Oh, what am I going to do without hockey? Fucking live. Go watch a movie.
Go see
Rise of the Guardians. I highly recommend it.
What movie?
Rise of the Guardians.
I see that's out.
It was funny.
No, I just miss the whole thing. I read the headlines about the thing, and then I never look at the articles and like go, oh, it's their fault. No, it's their fault. It's everybody's fault. It's greed. It's society. It's God. It's Buddha.
It's God.
Why is Buddha? It's Krishna. Whatever. I don't go into whose fault it is, what greed is, society. Who gives a shit? Put fucking 12 guys on the ice. That's including the goalie. See, I remember that.
I think you better make another trip up to Connecticut if you want to see hockey. I don't think the NHL is coming back anytime soon. I really don't.
January from the beginning, and I'm sticking with it. I don't care if Jeff Cooper said it. You heard it here first. Well, the last show we did, I said I thought it was going to be January. If it doesn't happen, it's over. And you know what? I hope the fucking sport, is like behind go-kart racing. As far as popularity. That's where I feel. They deserve everything they get. Go away for another year.
People are going to find other things to do. Everybody, a lot of people make comparisons to 95 or 94, 95 and 2004, 2005. But you know what? 2004, 2005 wasn't that long ago, but in the grand scheme of things, that's a long time ago. And in 1995, there weren't as many things to do. You didn't have, now you've got computers, you've got the internet, you've got games, you've got video games, you've got 100,000 channels on TV. There's a million other ways to spend your time. Not to mention that, it's not real cheap to go to a hockey game unless you live in Phoenix, in which case the parking's free and the tickets are $12. and I don't care what anybody's telling me, the economy isn't recovering in any kind of hurry. So people don't have a lot of disposable income. And I just think, people that say, oh, well, it recovered in 2005, it'll do it again. I'm not so sure it happens quite as fast.
Well, I know.
And there's only so many times you can keep shutting down the sport for labor issues before people find something else to do.
Well, this is the way I feel. I think a lot of people feel like they've been fucked. Okay? And I think people will stay away from the games, going to the games. But I think people will, you know, like myself, you know, I'm going to watch the games. If I don't get screwed with the NHL package and it comes back, I'll get the package. But that's it. I'm watching the games from my living room. I'm not going to any games. I'm not paying for any games. And, you know, the Rangers, Dolan actually has been one of the better owners. He wants to play. He's like, you know. So I got, you know, he's not like a hardliner. Can you imagine? I know this is quickly turned into a hockey show. But you imagine how much Gary Bettman will be booed the first time he hits the ice in Los Angeles when he gives the... Well, I don't know if he'll be there for that ceremony. But the first time he's at the ceremony...
when he's at MSG to present the next cup.
Yes. How much he will be booed? I think he'd have to come up with a bulletproof vest.
Yes. Unless he walks on the ice with the Stanley Cup in one hand and the cure for cancer in the other, he's probably going to get moved. You know, unless he presents the Stanley Cup from the tree he's rescuing the kitten along with the cure for cancer in his pocket, I don't think he's got a chance of not getting booed.
I mean, I really think he's the devil. And it's not because I'm the whole like Tracy's talking. He said he sure did get booed at the charity game to Sandy.
He wasn't there, was he? Or was it just...
How could he be there? I mean, wasn't that a player association? He told them not to, NBC not to televise the game, even for charity.
Yeah, isn't that great?
I don't know. I would check up on that. That doesn't make sense, but. Maybe
know.
Just stuff for PR reasons. Why? I don't know. Anyway, so I miss the game. I miss the... I miss the shows that we did.
I miss the shows.
I mean, I'm
going
to complain about Michael Delzato's salary again. I can't wait. This guy had to go to arbitration.
I want
to
make line combinations.
You know, there's one guy out there has been still making line combinations since the lockout.
Probably.
Changing them every day.
Honestly, I think I miss the show more than I miss the game right now.
I miss the show, but see, the show was good because, like, every other night there's a game, so there's always something going on, like, you know, the trials and tribulations and Tortorella
right.
press conference, and this guy stumped the place up. And we paid this guy, and Aaron Ashton's a disaster. Why do we get this? Mike Ruff is getting paid too much. He hasn't scored since the Winter Classic. The two Winter Classics have gone by. You know, like that, you know. Just that kind of stuff. I want to complain. Rick Nash, I can't believe we get this guy. He does nothing. You know, the whole scenario.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. I do miss the show, but I also missed. I just love the game. To me, it's just there's nothing else sport like it. So, what are you gonna do? But yeah, the people do go too crazy with the boycotts, and I'm burning my Rangers stuff. I'm burning. Calm down, Chuckles. Just you know. Play Xbox.
Right. Just the last thing I'll say on it right now is that if the fans don't show some kind of solidarity, be it by not showing up on opening night, I would love to see every opening night game in the NHL played in an empty arena. Eight guys sitting there. And if the fans don't do it, I'm sorry, but you're suckers, and you deserve another lockout in a year. I'm sorry.
I agree totally.
If the fans don't stand up and figure out a way to say, you know what, you fucked us and we're pissed, then they're suckers. And the NHL got exactly what they thought they were going to get. You right back in your seat whenever they whenever they came back. With thank you fans painted on the ice. That was enough. That'll pacify the fan. Show them how much we care. We'll paint thank you on the ice.
Yeah. Now, I agree with you totally. I think that's a great idea because we can't, as fans, seem like, you know, mindless sheep that will just go no matter what happens. But so Chris Hockey's back. You got to show them that that this is bullshit. It's just total bullshit. And whatever side you're on, the fans have to have some kind of power in this. Well, this is just going to happen again.
And I know a lot of people say, well, I got my season tickets. They're already paid for, so what difference will it make? Well, I'll tell you what difference it'll make. What would you think, on average, the average fan spends at a Ranger game? How much would you say?
One person?
Yeah, one person.
If they got to travel there?
No, I'm talking about the...
$60 at least.
Well, they've I'm not even talking about their ticket. I'm talking about from the minute they hand their ticket to the 85-year-old bat taking the tickets at the turnstile. After they've handed over that ticket, from then until the final buzzer sounds and the Rangers victory song plays and they leave the arena, how much do you think they spend? The average person.
I'd say like 30, 40 maybe.
Okay. All right, so we'll take...
I'm not that average. I'm cheap, so, you know, I get a soda and I'm good to go. But
I think that's a reasonable average.
I think we'll buy beer and nachos all the time.
I think that averages out. A guy that takes his kid or he's got to feed the kid and he gets himself a couple of beers or he gets himself something to eat. Maybe he's got to buy the kid a program. He buys the kid a hat. A couple of guys are there together. They get a couple of beers. 35 is a good number, so we'll stick with that. Now, you take that number... Right? And you multiply that by 20,000 fans. And what do you come up with? $700,000. That's how you hurt them. The tickets, that's not what they care about. They want you in the arena spending money.
Especially with MSG. I mean, you know, with all the high-priced stuff they got now with the renovations, with the sushi and all that stuff, you know, they have 800 people show up one night. They're freaking really, you know, 1,000 people. They're really taking the bath. What phase of the renovation? We should do a hockey show this week. Really, we should save all this stuff. We should just redo what we're doing now for the hockey show.
Yeah.
And more people will call in. Yeah, we should. I have a lot to vent about.
Maybe I think Thursday night I can do a hockey show.
Yeah, last Thursday I canceled. I think this Thursday I can do it for sure.
Okay.
All right. So let's get on to the Giants now.
We're done with the Jets?
Yeah, I mean, come on. What can you say about the Jets? I mean, we can't go over the game. The game was a bore fest. Yeah, you know, it was sleepy time tea. Well, good replacement for that. The Jets' offense, also known as Sleepy Time T.
Right.
But running game was pretty good. Sean Green got in the end zone. And the other dude, I think, got hurt, didn't he? No, he didn't get hurt. This guy Powell's been playing pretty well. Powell, whatever. He's been decent. But let's go to the Giants. I'm going to go right off with the start with the Giants, basically because you are the expert on the Giants, and I'm just going to, you know, I watched most of the Giant game. Now, the Giants absolutely, they dismantled New Orleans. New Orleans, to me, looks like one of the worst teams in the league right now. I'm just going to tell you this. I really thought it was one of those games where I didn't see anything from New Orleans whatsoever on both sides of the ball. Defensively, you could see why they're the worst in football. I think they're the worst against the pass. They've got to be close to the run, too. Now, your boy, our boy David Wilson, ran back a terrific kick return for a touchdown. He had a terrific game.
Flip Wilson.
Flip Wilson, exactly. But don't be breaking out the MVP award yet for that guy. Let's hesitate when he plays against somebody real. I didn't think that Eli looked all that great early. This game worries me if I was a Giants fan, because they blew out these guys, but I really felt as if New Orleans was so horrible. I mean, their special teams was a disaster. I mean, I don't know. What's your take on it? Go from the beginning, but I wound up with, yeah, I'm glad that if I was a Giant, I'm glad they won because they stood ahead a game ahead of the Cowboys and Redskins, which was great. There were some good moments, and stuff, but I would be going with cautious optimism rather than like the Giants are back, they're ready to make their run, you know. So you go with your thing. I've said my piece pretty much on that.
I still this team's got big problems on defense. Still, where's the pass rush? Where is this? Week after week, I watch the Giants and I hear the announcers talk about this ferocious pass rush and this Giants' great defense. They're not a great defense. It's not a ferocious pass rush right now. What that defense is opportunistic. They create turnovers. But when they don't create turnovers, they're not winning. They're not winning. I said it weeks ago when I went into my rant about how they stink. If they don't get the turnover, where would the Giants be without downtown Stevie Brown and his 7 interceptions and I think 2 fumbles?
Yeah. He's been terrific.
I mean, but the pass rush hasn't been there. JPP played a good game on Sunday. He was disruptive, but I still think they only got maybe 2 sacks, 1 sack, something like that. I don't know. Everybody's off the pace. They're horrifically undermanned at linebacker. I don't know. Again, I've said this a couple of times this season. I don't know if they just think they can turn it on at some point. But if that's what they think, then this Sunday would be a good time. They played a very good game against the Packers, very good game against the 49ers, very good game against the Carolina Panthers. Other than that, I have not been thrilled with their play. I've said it once, I'll say it again. If they're not getting turnovers, the turnovers are disguising their faults on defense, their flaws on defense. I said that 3-4 weeks ago. They're disguising the flaws. Look at the yardage. Look at the huge pass plays. Even Breeze, how many times he hit? I think at least 2 40-yard pass plays on Sunday. While the game was still in question, Giants weren't in prevent defense.
Right.
This team has given up. I don't know what their third down percentage is on defense. It can't be that good. Can't be. I mean, I've seen them give up 3rd and 12s, 3rd and 13s, 3rd and 10s, 3rd and 9s. And again, the pass rush hasn't been there. They're facing a very good Atlanta team. I don't care what happened to them against Carolina. They're facing an Atlanta team that plays very well at home. You got Roddy White and Julio Jones.
Right.
They got a good running game. Atlanta's also got a suspect defense, but they can put up a lot of points on offense. It was nice to see what they did to the Saints. They owed this, and let me tell you something, they owed the Saints a beating. The Saints beat the hell out of them twice in the last 3 years down in that Superdome. So they owed the Saints a pasting, and it couldn't happen to them. I despise the New Orleans Saints. despise.
I despise New Orleans.
I hate the Saints.
Oh wait, I want to hear this one.
I don't want to get into it. I absolutely.
You don't want to get into it.
I don't want to get into it.
What else are you going to get into?
Because I think the people of New Orleans, I think they're barbarians. I wish that city would have sunk into the ocean when they had that hurricane. Those people are disgusting that live there. The spirit of New Orleans rising. Fuck them. They should have leveled that place. They should have stowed anthrax on it. Fuck New Orleans. Fuck the Saints. I can't wait until another hurricane comes through and finishes the job on that town. Can't wait.
I'm supposed to go there.
I hate the Saints. And, oh, we got to pull for the Saints because it's good for New Orleans. Fuck you. Are they still shooting at helicopters and raping 12-year-olds in the Superdome? Fuck that city. You thought New York was bad? They were fighting over gas in New York for the hurricane. Fighting over their spot in line. New Orleans, they're shooting at helicopters. Raping teenagers in the Superdome. That historic building. Fuck New Orleans. Couldn't happen to a nicer team.
This is undiscovered country. Yeah. This is the undiscovered country.
And my rant goes even further than that. It's the people in New Orleans. Like I said, I think they're barbarians. Whether they're white, black, Mexican, I don't care. I thought that the way those people cannibalized each other, cops, police officers fleeing the city because they were. I got to get out of here. I'm going to die. What the people in the city? Go fuck them. So what if I took an oath? Doctors jumping out of hospitals in canoes to get to the Gulf of Mexico. That city, they should have left that city to rot and mold as a decaying memorial to how disgusting the human race can become once they turn on each other.
Next week, The mayor of New Orleans.
What's his name? Ray Sharpie? I don't know. Ray something. He's another one.
Who called it Chocolate Town? Did somebody call it Chocolate Town or something?
It was the mayor of New Orleans. Ray Nairon, yeah, I think, was his name. I think that was his name. Cops.
All right.
Whatever. Anyway. Maybe.
So they now. Are you with me as far as my assessment as Giant fan? Let's not get, because to me Eli still doesn't look. He doesn't look like the Eli of last year.
No, I'd agree with that.
He's throwing too many picks.
Too bad interceptions. He's not the same. He hasn't looked the same. They're 8-5, and how many come from behind wins if they had again? He threw for 4 touchdowns. This is just what Eli is. He's a guy that can go from brilliant to madly. Actually, usually he goes from maddeningly inconsistent to brilliant all in the same game. Sometimes from one quarter to the next.
It's like this show.
Yeah, it's just like this show. 1 minute we're talking hockey, 1 minute we're talking about the jet. The next minute I'm wishing everyone in New Orleans dead. It's a lot of fun, but that's what Eli is. Well, I don't know what else to,
And I'm worried about the running game. I mean, David Wilson looked good, but I'm not branching. I have him on my fantasy team, so I'm watching these games. And he's always hurt.
He's like Earl Campbell.
I mean, this guy is ridiculous.
Well, I agree.
Even when he's semi-healthy, their running game is, except for maybe 2 games this year, 2 or 3, one of them which David Wilson was a star, the one when the other guy, downtown Ahmad Brown, whatever that guy's name is.
Andre Brown.
And a game by Bradshaw, they haven't had much of a running attack. And, traditionally, I know that they have such an explosive offense with the pass. I think you got to have a running game to really rely on. I don't think they have that. it seems like Eli's in the shotgun a lot. What is their run to pass ratio now? Is it last couple of years, has it been big? I mean, has it gotten bigger, or I don't know.
No, I think it's about the same as it was. And they've always run a lot of shotgun in Kevin Gilbride's offense. Always.
Okay.
They run a lot out of the shotgun. And, you know, I like Ahmad Bradshaw. I know I ranted on him a couple weeks ago because he fumbles, but that's just tough love. But you know what? I really think he's, you know, I know he's just signed a big contract, but he's got his money. He's got his two rings. I think somebody might want to show this guy a video of Jerome Bettis or Earl Campbell trying to get out of bed in the morning. Because that's going to be him in 10. I mean, that's going to be him in 10 years with the feet injuries and the knees and everything else that's wrong with this guy. I mean, you know, there's a reason why running backs have a very short life expectancy in the NFL. You know, not many of them live to be old running backs. You know, Otis Anderson was the exception to the rule, that's for sure.
Rigor Otis is what I used to call him. Is that a rigor mortis? Rigor Otis. He was so old.
Loved Otis.
Well, of course. He was a gamer. He played till he was 75.
Yeah. What a Super Bowl MVP
Super Bowl.
In 75.
I know. It's quite the story there. So will the Giants get to 9-7 again this year? Looks pretty good.
They get to 9-7. If they only wind up 9-7, they might not be in the playoffs.
Really? It's not sizing up that way in the NFC? 9-7 won't get you in?
Well, they're not going to – let me see.
What do they got left on the schedule?
Atlanta, Baltimore, and Philly. And the Redskins have Cleveland, Philly, and Dallas. And then Dallas has Pittsburgh, New Orleans, and Washington. You know, it really hurt the Giants when, in the span of 3 minutes on Sunday, Dallas and Washington both won late.
That Washington victory was unbelievable.
Yeah,
not unbelievable.
Really,
I had to say unbelievable, but it was, because that word gets thrown around, but it really was unexpected and really a fantastic. The one thing I saw in that game, what is Shanahan letting this RG3, basically the franchise, hobble down the field after throwing a long pass, not calling a timeout? Nobody gets on the line of scrimmage, he calls a timeout.
Yep.
Stupid ass. Hey, Smiley, what is that guy going to smile?
Yeah.
It looks like he's getting an enema on the sideline.
That handbag face of his.
Oh, God.
Looks like my grandmother's purse. His skin is so weathered, and it's like an old saw. It's like Captain Ahab.
Jesus. So they may start Cousins this week. I don't know. It depends on who you listen to. Pierre Garçon came out and said RG3 is not playing Sunday.
Oh,
but
really?
Then he's not playing Sunday. But then RG3's dad said, no, I talked to Robert. He's playing Sunday. So who knows? The dad or Pierre Garçon?
Meanwhile, shouldn't it be up to the coaches?
Yeah. So, but it was incredible that the fact that Cousins came in, threw the touchdown pass, and then ran in the two-point conversion.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know. I think the Giants are going to beat Atlanta. I watch a lot of Atlanta's games, and Atlanta can't get it together offensively now. But they do have the weapons. Matt Ryan's been struggling lately to a certain degree. But they do have, and they have Tony Gonzalez, too. But at home, they should be better. It'll be a good test for the Giants, for sure. So I think all those three teams, it may come down, I don't know. It's going to be real, real close. What did you say? The Giants got, they've got Atlanta, then who else?
Atlanta, Baltimore, and then Philadelphia.
Well, the Ravens just fired their offensive coordinator.
Cam Cameron.
Yeah, like they expected that offense to be like. I mean, I know they got Ray Rice and Torrey Smith, but they don't really have much else. And Joe Flacco was, you know, he's Joe Flacco. And Baltimore, is that game in Baltimore or at Jetlife Stadium?
That game is in Baltimore, where they've won like 15 of their last 16 games.
I tell you, Ravens are tough at home.
Yep.
I don't know.
And they might have the murderer back by then.
Oh, yeah. The most praised guy next to Mike Tyson.
Right.
Guy's
on trial for murder, and now he's the face of the NFL. He's on every commercial.
Yep. It's like I'm watching, you know, my wife tapes The View, right? And I'm like, they have Mike Tyson on as a guest. If there is any guy out there in professional sports that has done more bad things to women,
right?
He raped somebody, he did jail time, he's on The View with Barbara Walters, yucking it up. Meanwhile, they're on, you know, any guy who does anything, you know, they're all over. But Mike Tyson, because he's on a Broadway play, all of a sudden he's a good guy.
Right.
So anyway, yes, the murderer will be out there. He's going to play. I thought he had torn triceps out for the season. He's making a miracle comeback.
No, I think he's still eligible to come back this season. So.
And what's the final game against?
Philadelphia.
Oh, that shit. That shit's going over there. Yeah, they won.
Yeah. I don't know how.
Nick Foles. I like that running back, Bryce Brown. I didn't see how he did, though. He looks like...
that game against the Eagles, that game is at the Yale Bowl.
Oh, that one. The Eagles will be like...
We're going to just call it Shea Stadium.
We should just call it Shea Stadium. Nah, I like the Yale Bowl. When the Giants play, the Yale Bowl is good. Jet Strife Stadium.
Shea Stadium, the only facility to hold to play home to four major sports teams.
Shea Stadium was not, I can't even consider a football league. That was just embarrassing. I mean, I don't know. I have some of the old films. Maybe I'll post them before the NFL will take them down. But some of those old games at Shea Stadium, the field is just so disgusting.
Well, yeah. It's baseball. Even for the Mets, it was considered that was considered a bad field. So even for baseball. But it was revolutionary. The outfield was on railroad tracks, so they could change the dimensions of the stadium to play football in it.
Oh yeah, technologically advanced with the railroad tracks.
Well, for 1964, I mean, you know.
I guess. Yeah, you're right.
But no, it was something that anybody else was doing.
The winds, I mean, I know the Meadowlands had bad winds. They had bad winds at Shea Stadium, too.
Yeah, I can remember. If you were sitting, I can remember going to a few games. Now, I only went to Shea Stadium for one football game. Actually, my first Giants game was at Shea Stadium. But
wow.
I can remember going to Mets games where I'm pretty sure if you were sitting on the third base side, when the sun started to go down, if it was April or May or September, you were absolutely freezing once the sun went out of that stadium. I mean, it was just, the wind would just whip in, and oh my God, it was an ice box. But I love that place. I miss it. I'll always miss Shea.
Yeah, because it was, you know, as a Met fan, I can't believe we're admitting. Well,
now we're into baseball.
Well, I just want to say, as a Met fan, it was a dump, but it was our dump.
Yeah, but it had a personality. You know, it had a smell.
Like, yeah,
it had a sound to it. Shea Stadium had a buzz. You always knew when you were watching a game that was at Shea Stadium. It had a certain sound, a certain hum to it. And then those god awful speakers out on the tower. Al Batting.
Yeah.
Number 7, the third baseman, Yubi Brooks. It sounded almost as bad as Block Talk Radio.
Almost as bad.
Almost.
Wow.
Well, we've run the gamut, made it through almost an hour here.
All right, let's get down to it. Let's get down to brass tacks and wrap this shit up.
All right. So, with the picks this week, we'll play the music. Let me see. We're turn it up a little bit there. Come on. There we go. Last week, I slipped the baby or shit the bed, depending on which one of our analogies you want to use. I was 0-3. I had Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, and Atlanta. All three lost. So I am now 18-11-4. Eddie rebounded. He went 2-1 last week with the Browns and the Jets. And Eddie is now 13-17-3. Like the Jets, he is just trying to get to 500.
That's it.
So, Edward, you go first. Who you got this week?
Well, I've got to go with the New York Yale Bowl Giants, getting a half from Atlanta. Ever since Roddy White predicted Atlanta would go undefeated, they've looked terrible. I think Atlanta's defense is a little bit Swiss cheese.
All right, Giants get a point and a half.
Yeah, getting a point and a half.
All right.
And then we'll take the New England Patriots, giving 5.5 to the San Francisco 49ers. And then last but not least, yeah, that's right. There, I am going to take the Baltimore Ravens, getting 2.5 at home against Denver.
Baltimore plus 2.5. All right, so the Giants plus 1.5, New England given 5.5, and Baltimore plus 2.5. All right, I don't have to change any of my picks. I am going to take the Detroit Lions playing America's joke, the Arizona Cardinals. Detroit given 6. You could give Detroit 16, and I'd still take them over the Cardinals. Green Bay given 2.5 to the Bears. Even though that game's in Chicago, I think the Bears, just a couple of weeks after I called them the best team in the NFC, they are completely falling apart. Exactly. And I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns at home, giving 1 point to the Washington Redskins.
Wow.
Cleveland's played well. I like their defense. I like them at home. I think they might have, especially if Peter Griffin doesn't play. I think Cleveland finds a way on Sunday to get it done.
Well, certainly Griffin is. I mean, certainly Cleveland is a gamer. They come to play every week at home. I think that's a good pick.
Yeah. So we'll see. All right. So you want to do? You want to try for a hockey show Friday, Thursday?
Yeah. Let's set it up. I will be there for sure.
All right, Thursday night, 8 o'clock Eastern time, Blue Shirt Underground Radio returns, and we'll see you guys then. Eddie, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, my friend, as well.
Good night, everybody. Everybody.